I have sometimes included things that you wondered where it came from. But in any event, I do thank you for being here, because it's a it is a privilege, and I don't want to say anything that would take away from that. I thank you for your faithfulness to the Word and to this church. All right, let's take our Bibles now, and we're going to look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and we're going to probably look at verses 17 to 24. This will probably be the last time that I read those first couple of three verses. We've been reading these each time because it sets the context for us. If you look beginning at verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and everything for God, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then we're going to walk on over into the next line also. And wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word from our God. We thank you for the Spirit that prompted the man to write it, that inhabited the words that were written. And we thank you, Father, that it is true and that it is the Word of our God. We ask you, Father, that we would receive it in that way. Teach us, Father, to love your Word as you have presented it, as it has been written, and as we learn it. We ask you, Father, to hear our prayer and be with us now in this service, as you already have been. In Jesus' name, amen. Submission. Not a word that prompts a lot of joy in the conversation, because the shorter form of it is submit. And these are words that in our modern society we don't hear them much, and when we do, it generally is something we don't want to hear. We are to submit, which means to obey. So in this scripture, Paul is speaking of submitting to the Word of God. I wondered why he would have written this, something like this. Because, I mean, it doesn't matter how godly the men and women are, there are people in that congregation that will say, I don't think that's God's Word. He didn't say that. That was Paul. Paul writes his gospel. He's not preaching Christ's gospel. Well, we need to know from the very outset that there's no such thing as a Pauline gospel that is different from Christ's gospel, because Christ appeared to Paul, called him into service to the gospel, and then has blessed his work in so many ways. And so when we look at this, it may trigger some ideas that you don't want to think about, maybe. But to submit is to obey, and we are all called. This one here was referencing wives, but each of us in this room, male, female, child, adult, we are all called to submit to the Word of God. And don't look at this now, boys, and say, well, he said it's about wives, so I don't have to listen. Men, don't just sit there, because you're going to get yours next week. But it's going to be gentle, because Christ is gentle. And if you be in prayer for me and be in prayer for the rest of the congregation as well, and to whatever visitors we may have, we will know that as we hear the Word of God, it is a prepared Word of God, and we want to hear it. So, we ask for the blessing of Christ upon this day. And we know that in His Holy Spirit, He will do so. So let's look at 17b. Understand the will. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Most people, when they hear this kind of particular set of scriptures, they would say, well, that's your opinion. That's what you want to hear. Well, that's what you agree with. I don't agree with that. But when he says, understand what the will of the Lord is, I'll tell you right now what it is. The will of the Lord is that you would hear and understand the Word of God and apply it in your life. And be thankful that God has spoken to you through His printed Word, that you would be able to know His will. So this is basis, is foundation for this lesson and next week as well. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. We talked about that for 2 weeks. But it's still to be filled with the Spirit. You'll not understand the Word of God unless you've been filled. If God has continued to fill you with the Spirit of God that He gave you when He brought you to Christ. And if you're sitting here today and you just don't seem to make any sense out of this, or you don't understand why people would even bother talking this way, then it's because the Spirit of God has not come upon you and given you new life. And if that's the case, you can disagree with me, because I may really mess this up. I may tell you the wrong verses sometimes. I may even say something that a man's supposed to do, and I give it to the woman, and it'll be that woman that he gave me. So that's... But the understanding the will of God is not just dependent on the man speaking. It's dependent on your hearing the will of God in your life and the manner in which you are submitting to the study of the Word. The wisdom that you need for the following the will of God is found only, or found foremost anyway, in understanding the Word of God. So we're going to progress through this. One of the things that we understand the will of the Lord is that He wants us to speak to one another there in verse 19. Addressing means we're going to spend time speaking to each other, visiting, talking, asking questions. Did that guy really say that? Yes, he did. Also, you want to be able to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We talked about that. Most of us know those. Psalms are the ones that generally are written by David or some other psalmist that we're familiar with. Now this is, we can share that, and it makes for a fantastic testimony too, just sharing what you've learned in the Psalms. But the hymns, we said, those are the ones of the grandeur, the wonderful majesty of God, and the ways that we sing about Him. And then I actually have come to a little more refined understanding of spiritual songs. If some of you already knew this, I appreciate you not coming up to me and saying, yeah, no, it wasn't it. Spiritual songs, I thought, was kind of the trite thing, you know, like we do in Sunday school. And if you really love this song and it made a difference in your life, I'm sorry. Forgive me. This Little Light of Mine has been sung in every congregation. And it closed revival services. And I've never really understood that. So that's colored my idea of what I think about spiritual songs. But the spiritual songs that he's talking about here are doctrinal. The spiritual songs that he's singing here are talking about the things of the Spirit. It's not worked out as it is in the 4, 5, 6 verse songs that we sing. But they are light, what I'd call a lightweight song, but the message is just as heavy as anything else that you'd learn to sing about the Lord God. So these things then are meant for your encouragement and your understanding of the will of God. This is God's will for us in Christ today, that we would understand His will and giving thanks in all things. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in verse 21 that we implement the very things that are in those first three or four verses above it. We implement the Word of God by submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We cannot spend enough time, actually, in this verse, because it is in this verse that we see, men, it is talking to you when it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Women, it is talking to you. Yes, wives, submit to your husbands. Children, whenever you hear something that you don't understand or wonder what it's all about, it gives you something to ask mom and dad about when you get home. And it also gives you a chance to understand it as well, thinking through it with the Spirit of God working with you. So, as you're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, what in the world do you think that might mean? As you look at this, it says, I'm going to go back to my scripture here. By the way, I have a 2006 edition of my Bible. It's different from my Logos because they're doing the 2016 version. So if you hear something different, understand it's the same word. They just kind of shuffled some of the words around. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. It includes all the songs that we also mentioned here, but it also includes the previous verse 20, which says, we are giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's going to be a moment here in this next few verses where submitting to one another or submitting to another that's been designated in all things. And that's where all the questions come up. Whenever you're submitting to God and to each other for all things, it is the opportunity that you're taking to sure enough worship and come to know the word for Christ, the word that Christ, rather, is not attempting, but that is bringing together, and this is one of the things in that church or in your conversation or in your home that He's bringing meaning to and giving you maturity, bringing you more understanding in the way that he's doing. So I found a guy. His name was Manfred Kutke. Yeah, I've never heard of him until I got this book. My wife got me a replacement for it because the one I had was awful. It was beat up. It was broken. It was, the spine was gone. But he was talking about these things. How is it that we can live in the same way, speak in the same way as what these verses say? How can we speak in the name of Christ? How can we speak giving thanks in all things? How can we truly submit to one another? Why would you submit to one another anyway? It's because God has caused us to have a companion spirit with every brother and sister that's in the church. There is a, I don't know if you've ever heard people pray this way, but when I'm praying for someone that's not here, I pray that God will strengthen the tie of the Holy Spirit that's between us and them where they are. And I don't imagine some string somewhere that's attached to them, and I'm not really imagining the Holy Spirit making some special little spirit tunnel from me to them. But all of us in Christ are together in the Spirit. Now, it's not something that we're always going to be aware of, but Gutke said this. He said, you know, these different actions are being performed. They're keeping the heart and mind filled with Scripture. They're being thankful for the way things are happening. They're submitting one to another that will prepare the believer for the Holy Spirit to come in and fill his soul. And if the believer will just do these things, he will be richly blessed. He will be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be submitting to one another in the Spirit of Christ. Now, how can you do that? Well, it's in Christ. If you're submitting to Christ, it's out of reverence for Christ, isn't it? I think probably the most, if you saw Gone with the Wind, you got to hear the expletive at the end of it that Clark Gable, I think they had to close the set even when he was filmed, because they didn't want it to get out that was going to be his last line. Because you didn't say those words in movies. And the first time I heard it, it was by that time it was a rerun on television. So it was okay. I can remember hearing I can say it this way. When you're asking God to damn someone, that's not a prayer you want to pray. Some people, though, when they start reading the imprecatory Psalms, they get out of control and they start saying those kind of things. You know, kill them, damn them, send them to wherever. We don't have the authority to do that. We don't have the mind and soul to do that. And if we're truly in Christ, we know that that's something Christ is going to do in judgment, but that we have no part of. And so, first time I heard that on a movie, that, you know, we wound up leaving the theater, as a matter of fact. Now it almost seems like we're almost immune to it sometimes. But the first time I heard Jesus Christ used as an expletive, y'all, that burned a hole in my soul. I don't know how in the world I allowed God's name to be taken and it didn't hurt me. But when I heard Jesus Christ, in fact, they even saw the Oxford Dictionary for young people. It said, I looked up Jesus Christ. What is this? It said an expletive denoting fear or dismay. And then in tiny little print, almost like it was written at the bottom of the footnote, said the founder of Christianity. But we should honor Christ in everything that we say, and we should do that by filling our soul with the scriptures, by filling our time with people that are of like belief, that we can enrich the conversation just by speaking of Christ, speaking, submitting to each other in love. Romans 12, 9 says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. This is how we actually reverence Christ. It prompts believers to subject themselves to one another. You have a person that you're speaking to in this manner, and they're speaking back to you in the same manner. And this is someone that you'll pray for more. It's someone that you'll look for them whenever they come into the room. You'll find that your maturity is actually increased by just being around them and speaking of the ways in which they do. Because did you know that? Have you seen this? Did you know that Jesus, you can learn more in just a 5-minute conversation from a wise person that just walked in. And you can't talk about all the football games, baseball games, the hunting, fishing, which I would like to do that. I sold my boat, so I don't get to fish anymore. So he's talking about, this is not just part of women and men. This is women and men together in their seeking out reverence for Christ by submitting to each one of us. Each one of us. That's what he's talking about. Now, when Paul wrote this, there wouldn't be a whole lot of that going on. Remember, they were followers of Diana and several other gods and goddesses. And if they could get just as drunk as they could, and then get just as high as they could any other way, and get all kind of perverted acts and things like that, they would consider that what we're talking about here. The more perverse you could worship a god or a goddess like that, the more holy you would be considered, the more knowledgeable you would be considered, the more that you would be following the point of those gods and goddesses. But we have this laid out for us in the Word. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast what is good. And then 12:10 there, I already read it. Love one another with brotherly affection. I don't know why, but almost every church that I can remember, there were men and women in there that had no idea what that was. And all you had to do was cross them once and you'd find out just how little they knew about offering brotherly affection. And of course, I need to confess that at times I was that man. And I'm thankful that whenever God puts us together with believers, that they do sharpen each other. And women, it doesn't say women sharpening women, but you know that you do. And you sharpen the men too. You sharpen your husband. I mean, we have someone in here who's turned into a Judaizer right here. I couldn't resist that, Brother Kidd. I'm sorry. So as we look at this, we're going to look at a few things here. What is submitting to Christ for the glory of God? How is that going to glorify God whenever wives submit to their own husbands? How does that glorify God? Here's a neat thing that you need to know. At least I think it's a neat thing. In the back up there, the verse 21 where it says, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. That submitting, that's a participle. That's a submitting person. That's one who will, their nature is submitting to Christ. Their nature is submitting to others. And you'll know that is true whenever you think about it. There's some folks, you walk up to them and they welcome you with open arms without even hugging you. I don't know how they do it. It's a magnificent thing. But in this, he says, submitting to one another, that is a participle. That means they don't even have to think about whether they're going to glorify God in this conversation, because it's their nature to do that. The word submit, or submitting, there in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. The word's not even in there in the original Greek. I'm learning also the way things go, how they come out this way. When I first got started studying this kind of stuff, and my first response would be, they're changing it. They're adding stuff to the Bible. The Bible says you add something to the Bible, you're going to die. Very simple. But what they're doing, some of you, the way you're looking at me, you already know what I'm fixing to say, and that's good. The word submit, they've taken it from the word in the previous line. Submitting to one another, it is that participle. And so what they do is whenever they're writing it into the English, they're not changing it, but they're writing it into the form of English sentences. So the only reason why submit is in there is because in the Greek, it means that, but we don't talk without verbs, do we? Honey, store. No. Go to the store, or Bubba, fishing rod. What? Go get my fishing rod. See, that's the way we talk. And so if this was actually in the original, and that's all we have, in fact, we have a Logos has got a translation they're working on. Theirs reads this way. It says, wives to their own husbands as to the Lord. Huh? Yeah, well, that's right. That's what an English person would say. What? Yeah. Some of us would say, make brownies. forgive me. Okay, so The word, though, is there. The idea has to be filled in just so that it is an American-style sentence, but it doesn't change anything. So we're submitting to the glory of Christ by submitting to each other. In 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. There's about four or five other sections where it also says this very same thing. It just says it in other words, given other aspects or perceptions of it. 1 Peter 3:1 says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So by submitting in Christ, then what we see is we see the possibility of others even being brought to Christ. There's another scripture that, how do you say this? The scripture also says that if a wife who knows the Lord, who is in the Spirit of God and is a Christian, married to a man that's not, she is not supposed to gripe at him for not going to church. The Bible doesn't say start getting up there and making sure he knows it's time to go and all this. No, it is by her loving way, her careful way, her forgiving way, the manner in which every one of us should be with each other, as if he was, well, actually he was, as a husband, she was to treat him in the same way that she would treat a Christian man. But there are some caveats on this, just so that we know that as the church submits to Christ is the boundaries for what this says. When the scripture says, and this is where it's been abused for years, when the scripture says, wives submit to their own husbands as to the Lord, there are instances all through our courts and other times where it never made it to the courts. And it's historically true. And we're talking about back whenever we were all still in Europe, it was true. And it was probably true in Paul's day as well. Someone opened that right there. Wives, submit yourselves, submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. And that man may never know what it means in any other part of the Bible. Love your fellow man, nothing. You know, repent, come to Christ. Doesn't know that, but he knows. Woman, submit. Because I'm your husband. And yeah, that's something that's foreign to a Christian. But in anger, it shows up sometimes even in a Christian home, doesn't it? But we are to ladies, you're being commanded to submit to the Lord. And the way that you do that is in Ephesians 5:24. Now the church submits to him, only to Christ, commits to Christ, so that also wives should submit to everything, in everything, to their husbands. What's the caveat for that? What's the boundary for that? Men, we're not going to get into this today because we don't have time. You are to respond in a way that Christ would respond, so that when there is a disagreement, when there is something that doesn't seem to be working the way it should, you men are charged with making certain that you are before her as Christ is. You are not her Christ. You are not her Lord. You are not her Savior. But you are to act to her in the way that Christ acts to the church. And the word is very explicit about that. He gave his life for the church, didn't he? He loves the church. The name, of course, escapes me. Jose had a wife. Is it Hosea? Hosea, there you go. Had a wife, and she disgraced him, and he took her back. In fact, he went to a place. Even went to a place where he had to buy her back. What comes to mind? Christ went to Christ went to the market, so to speak, in shame and disgrace. And purchased us. Purchased you. Your wife. Your husband. If you are in Christ, you are the one that Christ went in shame and disgrace, humbling himself, purchasing with his blood your salvation. So, gentlemen, I want to leave you with this. First time you want to quote this one back to your wife, make sure that she's watching, hearing, receiving the word from a man who is submitting himself to Christ. And ladies, one of the ways that you can think about this as well, just from another point of view, we all submit ourselves to somebody. In Romans, there was a chapter, the verse that I'd had that, we're not going to go to it. Just the verse is this. We are all equal under God. And you could go look up the Galatians scripture. You know, there's no difference as far as the value of our souls, the value of our lives, the value of our service before God. But the difference is there, and it's in functionality. Your function, your place. Every one of us is going to serve somebody somewhere, but it's going to be in the way that God has called us to be. Now, there are women out there that may never serve a husband, may never submit to a husband because they never married. But that's because the grace of God has given them an opportunity to do that. There's men out there that will never be able to minister to their wife or stand as Christ would stand before a wife because God has graced them with a singleness as well. But you're going to love, I hope you're going to love this. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. I didn't see anybody mouthing along with those lyrics from Bob Dylan. My goodness. It was an interesting thing whenever I went and heard him. I didn't go see him, but the first time I heard him sing a Christian song, and that was this one. He said, you know, we're all going to serve somebody. And in this case, what we're talking about here is that it is the women of God who are submitting to their husbands as Christ, not because he may be Christ, because he's not. He never will be. I have a quick thing here. This is from Alistair Begg. He has a devotional that I read. He said, a wife's submission to her husband reflects God's divine ordering for marriage. But how specifically are we to understand this teaching? First of all, the directive for a wife to submit to the husband in no way implies her inferiority. The Bible is very clear on this. They are equal in dignity, and both are made in God's image. As believers, they submit to husband or submit to wife implies no inferiority either. The Bible is very clear. Believers, we are equal in redemption. Second, women, you are to submit to your husband and to no other. No man has any authority over you. No man has a place over you. Because the one you are called to is your husband. And third, the submission isn't the same as unconditional obedience. Husbands are not to coerce their wives, nor do they call them to submit, and certainly not that which the Lord has not ordained. It's the very same command to you in that case as it was to the apostles. You can't violate what God has told you to do. And if you're going to have to choose between God and man, and it's ungodly what the man's saying, you don't submit. We do what God says. So, if you're a wife, the Bible does not call you to a slavish, unthinking obedience. Rather, your submission is to be a joyful loyalty to and a commitment to the Christ Almighty, to following the lead of your husband as part of a mutual partnership which pursues God's glory in all things. That was a little lengthy, but I thought it was particularly necessary. Well, let's consider these things. Remember this. If it's a partner that's not in Christ, you still love them. You still treat them as one that you serve, that you submit to. And men, whenever we come to what we're supposed to be doing, doesn't matter if they're Christians. You still work with them. You still love them. You still be as Christ would be to them at the time. All right, well, let's bow our heads. Father, we do pray that each one in this room has come to know Christ. Father, if that's not the case, we ask, Lord, that you would prick their hearts, that you would take something maybe that was said today that the Holy Spirit would be already dealing with them on, and that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We also, Father, we thank you for being with us today, that we would think on these things. And for whatever shortcomings, Father, that I have presented here, we pray, Father, that your Spirit certainly can easily overcome and that he will do so. Be with us now, Father, as we go into the Lord's Supper. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity to remember him, remember his sacrifice for our sin. Thank you, Lord, for these things, and we pray in Jesus' name.